Hi, my name's Courtney Thorpe, and welcome to More Than Just a Mum.
My crew very quickly disappeared. I found it really hard to bond.
Don't go to the gym, just have a sleep.
This week on More Than Just a Mum, I decided to turn the tables on myself. So, obviously, this has been about talking to some incredible women, incredible mothers about their journeys. And I know along the way I've told bits and pieces of my story too. But I decided for the last episode of my first season, I wanted to do a bit of a wrap up. And I thought, what better way than to flip it on its head and get the lovely Louise Chambers back in here to interview me.
Hello, my friend.
Hello, hello, you're back.
I am back and I'm so excited.
I've said to you, just ask me anything.
You have. This is completely unfiltered, no holds barred. Let's get started.
Go for it.
First and foremost, I want to ask, how are you? Not just, hey, how are you going? Yeah. I want to know, how are you, genuinely?
That's such a hairy question still. Look, I pretty much say to everyone that does ask that the parts of my life that are unrelated to my ex-husband are wonderful. I absolutely love my job. I love this podcast. I'm loving studying. And more than anything, I absolutely adore being a mum to my little one. Even being a single mum, which I was worried, you know, it's obviously a lot, but I really just adore it. Getting my friends back in my life, my social life, I'm loving it all. That part's great. The stuff that's still related to my ex-husband is getting harder and harder every single day, to be totally honest. And it takes a huge toll.
It's meant to get easier, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't that what everyone says?
Yeah.
This too shall pass. And, you know, every day it's going to just get that little bit easier. So I'm really sorry to hear it's not.
No, but I do still believe it will. We are heading into probably the trickiest time. You know, it's coming up to when we're going to go to mediation and our divorce is so soon. We can get divorced on the 24th of September. And yes, I am counting down the days now.
Well, that is my birthday. So,
Well, we'll have a double celebration then.
We're going to have a double celebration that day. I'll tell you that much. And you will get there.
I'm not going to sit here and pretend like that's my attitude all the time, though. Mm. You know, it's really easy when you put the brave face on to sit here and go, yeah, it's really bad, but, you know I'll get through it. There have been moments, you know, even just the last week where I have crumbled. To be purely honest, last Saturday, I had an enormous panic attack. It was probably one of the worst ones that I've had. And these are very new to me. I haven't experienced them.
Okay.
Like I said, before my relationship, I'd never had any struggles with anxiety, depression, any of that. It's very much been something that's developed over the last few years. So I'm still very new to how to handle that.
Mm-hmm.
Last Saturday was a really tough one. So it hasn't been easy and I do break.
Throughout this podcast, have you found any healing moments or has this been, you know, a bit of a cathartic experience for you?
Yeah, huge. I think even just that first episode where I shared my version, my perspective of what has happened to a point. There was a lot, as those close to me know, that I didn't share and won't share. But just actually owning my story for the first time and not making excuses and not being afraid. I was afraid. I'm not going to lie.
That's okay.
But I did it. And I think that was a big sense of accomplishment and just putting my reality out into the world and taking a bit of myself back was huge. I found that first episode very overwhelming when it was released. And then since then, having all the incredible women, yourself included, on this podcast every week, when I finished recording, I just felt on top of the world because I thought, oh my God, how lucky am I to be surrounded by such amazingly strong, inspiring women showing that we can all go through things and we're tough enough to get through it. And so every week it just gave me more and more hope.
So it's part of your toolkit really, isn't it?
It kind of is. I say that I started this because I wanted to be a friend to other people, but in turn it's been such a huge help in my own healing journey.
So what are you doing for you now? I know you take the role of mum very seriously,
mm-hmm.
but how are you filling your cup?
I'm not.
Come on. We got to do better with that, girl.
I know. It's really hard for me as well because I still, like for this morning, for example, I took every Sunday, Kennedy and I go out for a coffee and I think that that's filling my cup. But when I say that to other people, they're going, no, but you're still mum in that moment. Like you're not stepping away and switching off and just being you because you've got Kennedy with you, which I get. But before meeting my ex-husband, I was better. But even then, I was such a workaholic. The most I do for myself is probably, it sounds weird, like what do I do to make myself feel great? I clean my house.
I'm so with you. There's a lot of therapy in that though.
There is. So that's probably the best thing I do. Like I clean. Whenever I get stressed out with what's going on with my divorce, the house is immaculate. It's shining. That's what I do.
I think that's part of the process though of having clearing your mind. And if you've got that clear space and clearing your mind and just starting fresh again, almost like a blank canvas to start the week on or to start the next project on. Or
I think it also is kind of a little bit of control to a point. Like there's such a big part of my life that I have no control over. So having my house organized and sorted, and it just makes me feel calm.
Oh, I completely agree. I'm with you on that all the way.
But I do need to work on that, don't I? I should have some better.
And anyone who says dull women have an immaculate houses.
Oh, whatever.
Can go jump.
Absolutely.
All right. So moving forward now. I know that you invite your listeners to send questions through to you and connect with you on social media.
Mm-hmm.
You've dedicated an episode to answering those questions, which I loved. Are there any questions that you have been sent since that episode that you'd like to answer? Or, trickier, are there questions that you've received that you were not ready to answer but feel like you could share some thoughts on those today?
Yeah. All right, let's start with that one. I get still a lot of questions from people asking to explain in more detail what's happened with Jared. I don't think I'll ever be fully ready to share everything. I think that there is an element that as much as both of our lives have been public and our relationship and marriage was very public, there are some things that need to be private. And it's not to protect anyone other than the children involved. I just think that some things not everybody needs to know.
Is it really difficult to find where to draw that line?
Yeah, it is. Mm. It's also really hard because, again, talking about wanting to own my truth and also wanting to put my whole truth out there to help others and for them to feel less alone, a part of me would love to just go, bleh, here's everything. Here's my truth. I just can't. I just can't. That might change one day.
Mm.
One day I might be ready to share.
After the 24th of September?
After the 24th of September. maybe one day, but at the moment, at least for the foreseeable future, I just am not prepared to go into those dirty details.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Speaking of dirty details, that's another question that I get asked all the time.
Oh, share. What is it?
Everyone wants to know if I've had sex with anyone since Jared. Ooh. Yeah, like a lot of people. Are really apparently very interesting.
Yeah, you've got me curious now. So have you?
Oh, yeah, I'm all over the place. No. Like we said, I wear a few hats, Lou. So not only am I working full time, I am a single mum full time. I am studying full time. I've got my podcast. I'm running a house. I've got a messy divorce. No, I have had sex with no one since Jared. I haven't even kissed anyone. I've done nothing. But I am ready.
Okay.
I'm ready for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where do we start with that?
Well, I suppose getting asked out on a date's a good place, right?
What about dating sites and apps?
Well, I have always been pretty anti the online dating world. I just find it a bit yuck. And it wasn't really a thing, I suppose, when I was dating.
Amen.
Right? And you just hear these horror stories, you know, all these people that met on Tinder and then they get killed. So
well, there's that.
There's that slight element to it that creates a bit of fear. But
that isn't that is not funny, just to be clear.
No, it's not. It's the thought that that's how drastic my mind goes is probably comical. Yeah.
You hear horror stories though.
You do. And it's real and it's terrifying. Mm. So anyway, a girlfriend of mine said, no, I'm signing you up to Hinge, which is what she told me, an online dating site with the intent that you meet people for a relationship,
okay,
not a hookup. Because yes. I'm just not that girl. I'm not the random hookup girl.
Yep.
So, yeah, I said, all right. She said, 2 weeks, give it a go, put yourself out there, see what you think. So I did.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I got asked on a few dates and just freaked out and thought, nah. But I think it actually had to do with just I'm really aware of what I'm looking for now.
Yeah.
I'm so aware of what I want and what I don't want.
And that's such a gift in itself.
It is. It's brilliant. Mm. You know, it's hard not to judge a book by its cover, but even when you start these conversations with people, it's pretty quick and you're finding things out about them that you go, yeah, look, I'm just not even going to pretend that that's going to work for me because I know it's not.
Yeah.
So different to when I was dating in my 20s where it was sort of like, oh, yeah, I don't really know about that, but hey, we'll just give it a go. I've got my daughter to think about.
Yeah,
so
of course.
If things don't align, I'm not interested. Anyway, I went on to actually delete it, end of the 2 weeks. And then, yeah, a couple of other people had popped up that actually – seem like they're all right, decent people. Ooh. So I have not deleted it yet.
Okay, yeah. Good. Well, watch this space. Maybe that's another episode.
Don't put that out there. Then no one's going to want to take me on a date because they're going to think I'm just going to talk about it.
You'll be
podcast
fodder.
All my date fails. I hope not. I actually like as it's weird. Like I said, I'm not a casual hookup girl. Mm. And look, I'm not out there going, I want to find my next husband. But I'm also not out there just to muck around either, if that makes sense. It's just not me.
Everything in your own time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to talk about the connection between Kennedy and her sisters.
Yeah.
Has there been connection recently?
Her dad asks to have her usually once a week. Mm-hmm. And it's usually on a day that he's got her sisters with him because he has them, I think it's still 50-50. So she sees them for a couple of hours once a week.
I know you were very close to the girls.
Yeah.
Kennedy's sisters.
Yeah, my stepdaughters.
What's that dynamic like now?
I have been completely cut off.
That must be really hurtful.
That doesn't even touch how it feels.
Mm.
I truly loved Lyra and Payne like my own children for 5 years. And then obviously that bond and connection grew so much when I had their sister. And I have never done anything but my very, very best for those girls. Sorry.
Just breathe.
I am holding okay. It together. So for the fact that the silly adult stuff is getting in the way is just so unfair to all of us.
When you think there will be a time down the track where there's a reflection on what's going on.
Yep.
And how there may be some judgment.
I hope there's reflection.
It was such a crazy way to operate.
Yeah, it just doesn't need to be that way. Mm. It's adults being angry. It's adults trying to play the blame game. And it's adults affecting children when they should not even be a part of this. Mm. And I just think it's so wrong.
It's a sad situation.
It is. Mm. But I keep saying to them, and look, I ran into one of them the other day, which was a very, very emotional and traumatic experience, to be
just
totally
by chance.
Honest. Just yeah. by chance. Yeah. Okay. And it was very hard.
What was the reception like?
A lot of tears from her. I had to hold it together because I knew that if I lost it, it would make it 10 times worse. So I walked away when I had to tell her to go with who she was with. I was just, my whole body was shaking and I had to walk in and get Kennedy. It was just awful. Just her asking to stay with me, and obviously that can't happen. So yeah, it's, I said to her in that moment, I just grabbed her face and I said, hey, don't forget what I've always told you. I will always be your family because I'm your sister's mum. And I hope that gives them some sort of reassurance, because family is forever. And as far as I'm concerned, that's how I feel about them. I may be divorcing their dad, but I'm not divorcing them ever. Oh, that's a hard one.
I want to talk about a moment that we had this week at Hot Tomato when you read a short biography that was written to promote you to clients, and you welled up when you read it.
Yeah.
That was a really emotional moment for you, and I want to know what was going on in your mind when you read it.
Yes, our amazing boss, Justin, had written, a bit of a bio, and I was showing that, and I suppose it just took me by surprise for starters. I forget. I forget that I was that person. I feel so far removed from that, and I don't want to be. Just to read nice things about yourself is always lovely, but to read about your successes, it just kind of was the first time that I'd seen, you know, he went right back to when I ran the styling department at a fashion college, mm-hmm. to winning Miss World, to working on Channel 7, to emceeing. He went right back, and to see all of that on paper in front of me, it was just a really overwhelming moment. It was a bit of sadness in that I feel like I have lost that, and also a lot of pride. It was just a big moment. And I know when I told him that, and he thought it was so weird.
It took me a while to wrap my head around what was going on.
Yeah, what did you think?
Because I had read it before you.
Yeah.
And I read it and I thought, that's Courtney. You know, I didn't really bat an eyelid at it, because I know what your achievements are.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's her. There was nothing, you know, it was not a story. It was not a fictional.
No, it wasn't. It was my achievements.
Yeah. So I didn't bat an eyelid. But then to see you so moved by it.
Yeah.
Really sort of struck a nerve with me about how deeply you had lost a sense of your own achievement.
Just my self-worth, I think, in general. Mm. I think I'd just really gotten to a place where I just thought so little of myself, just thought I was so worthless, and I really didn't have much to offer. So to look back on that, it was like, you did good, Court. And I'm back on track, and it's sort of that. I suppose that was a nice moment too, like, I thought I'd kiss that life goodbye. And that was probably another element, that it was sort of picking back up. I'm going to add to that list.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to talk about how you recently went public with your story, mm-hmm. in the media. Mm-hmm. I want to know what's happened as a result. I want to know how you're feeling, yep. about having done it. And I want to know what backlash or support you've had since.
Okay. Yeah, so obviously it was actually a really difficult decision to make. But again, like I've said, Jared and I always had our relationship out in the public. It was all over our Instagrams. It was in the media. It was on TV. It was always a very public relationship and marriage. So after we'd been separated for quite some time, you know, I deleted him off my Instagram, which some people might think is immature. For me, it was very cathartic and necessary to not have memories flashing up on my Instagram every time I opened it. And I just suppose I knew I was doing this podcast. That was what was the biggest push. And I had done a lot of soul searching into what my role or what I felt my responsibility was going to be doing this podcast. What was the point? And I wanted to be as real and authentic and honest as possible, because that's what I'm asking of other people. And that's what I'm wanting people to tune into, is for the real, honest, authentic stories. It's the good, the bad, and the ugly of being more than just a mum. So if I don't offer the same, and I felt like I was a bit of a fraud, so I thought, okay, look, this is going to have to be addressed one way or the other. And I've always been a very big believer of being involved in the story, because then you have a bit more of a say as to how it's released, rather than waiting for a journalist to pick it up themselves, speculate, and, you know, just gets carried away from there. And I also knew at that time there was a lot of talk that had started around the coast that was coming back to me, and I won't have the ability to help make sure this is a respectful story. So the first time it came out, it was a very short, sharp article, and I thought, let's do it that way so that it's just sort of hit the nail on the head. And then I was adamant that I wanted to be the one to tell it in my own voice, in my own words, on my podcast. And then I said, the rest can happen after I say it. And that's what I did. I have since gone through highs and lows of how I feel about it. Part of me, again, is really proud. I think it was a very respectful story, given the ins and outs of our whole relationship and so much I haven't spoken about. What I have shared, I think, was very respectful.
I agree.
I know a lot of people don't agree right. with that.
And they've shared that.
And they've shared that.
Sentiment with you?
Not too many, to be honest. I think I've had so much support. It's probably been more on the comment section that everyone tells you not to read, but I did.
How could you not? I get the temptation. I totally understand.
I know, but I knew what I was doing and I shouldn't have done it. They weren't horrible, but they were definitely the ones in there going, you know, this stuff should be kept private. You shouldn't air your dirty laundry. Things like, yeah, but what's his side of the story? Which, fair enough, he would have one. You know, just, yeah, comments basically going, why has she shared this?
You can kind of see why somebody would say, oh, she's just doing that because she wants some publicity for a podcast.
Yeah.
But the way that you've just explained to me why you did that and about how the timing of all of that and how you wanted that control over your story and there were rumors swirling that it was only a matter of time before somebody else would grab a hold of that and run a million miles with a story or a
Jared
narrative
was
that wasn't
also
right.
out and about living a very single life. Very publicly. I'm different to that. If, you know, we'd both lived the way I did, and I'm not saying that I was living right and he was living wrong, we just
were different.
Yeah, but if we had both been living the way that I was, which was staying inside with my child in bed by 8 o'clock at night, I probably wouldn't have felt so much that, well, things wouldn't have been getting out. It would have been able to have been kept private for longer. But yeah, the way Jared was moving on, which was his prerogative, there was a lot of talk.
Going back to step-parenting.
Yes.
Tell me some things about step-parenting that somebody, if they were about to step into that situation of blended family, what advice would you give them?
I have had so many people ask me about this since I became a stepmom, or since, you know, even before we were married and meeting Lara and Peyton. I get to come from a place of hindsight now, which is such a gift. So I would say now, looking back, it would be don't meet them too soon. There is no rush. If you're going to be with this person for the rest of your life, well, then you've got the rest of your life. And not only for the kids' sake, but for your relationship's sake too. Like, keep your relationship your own for a minute and just live in that and enjoy each other without the obligations and responsibilities and all of that that comes with taking on other kids. And I also then think when you do meet them, maybe do it in a way where it's an accidental run-in that's actually planned the first time, where it's you bump into each other and give your kids a minute to adjust to that and hang out as friends and don't touch each other and kiss each other and let them build up to getting to know you as a person before the pressure of getting to know you as mum or dad's girlfriend or boyfriend or new partner. Just let them get to know who you are. This one's a really big hindsight one that I wish, and it sounds so different because of what I did, but don't try to be another parent. I wish I hadn't. I felt that if I didn't, that Jared wouldn't have loved me or would have thought that I didn't love his kids, which was so not the case. But they have a mum and a dad, and you have a really special role as a step parent where you have your own relationship, your own dynamic. Let that be enough. Don't let anyone make you feel like to be worthy of being the new wife or the new husband that you must act like the children's mother or father. Every situation's different. That would be the advice I would give myself in hindsight. And I suppose the only other piece of advice that I've been really wanting to put out there is in terms of not so much step-parenting but co-parenting. What's really, I say this to every woman that messages me now about they've just separated and they're trying to organize their care arrangement. Do not think that 50-50 is the ideal arrangement, because I actually personally, having lived it with the girls, I think it is one of the worst. And I don't care what any court or legal system says. I think that 50-50 is terrible in terms of week on, week off sort of arrangements. Yeah, okay, you can have a meaningful relationship with your children without them having to sleep at different houses every second week or every couple of days. The whole legal system is supposed to be so child focused, but that to me is so adult focused. It's so that the adults' lives are disrupted as little as possible. They're staying in their homes all the time, and the kids are the ones that are having to go back and forth. And I just think there are ways to have such a meaningful relationship with your child, even though they're not sleeping at your house. And that's, I suppose, where to get more complicated, child support and things are affected, because it's calculated based on nights spent in care.
Okay.
Which I think is half the problem that these things are created, because, yeah, it's almost, well, mum wants them for this amount of time, but dad wants them for this amount of time, so that extra child support's not having to be paid. Come to a private agreement if you can to get around that for the sake of the children. Because imagine us as adults, if you had to live and feel 100% at home and safe and in your routine here on the Gold Coast, but then every second week you had to pack up and go and live and feel right at home and comfortable and in routine in your house in Melbourne.
Crazy, hey.
Like, you wouldn't do it.
It's crazy.
You would feel so unsettled. You would feel so exhausted. You would feel so drained, so pulled from here to there. You think about that from an adult's perspective, and we're putting that on young children.
It's a lot.
It's too much. And I just think that you can have so much access to your children without having them sleep over. You know, you're not interacting and bonding with them when they're asleep anyway, for goodness sake. Keep it together. Keep your shit together, everyone. It's just ridiculous.
That's it, Courtney. Solving the problems of the world. Keep your shit together is what it all boils down to. I love it.
That's my words of wisdom.
What does the ideal future look like for Courtney Thorpe?
I'm not going to make it a secret that my goal is to have a proper on-air job on radio. That is my ultimate goal. So that would be a big one.
Okay.
Having my daughter, obviously. I want to be in a place, or back in a place, because I was before, where I am not dependent financially on anyone other than myself for my daughter and I. That is a very big goal of mine. I want happiness. I want calm. And I would really like another partner, which is weird to say. It feels weird to say that already, though. You know what I mean?
No.
I don't know, but I feel like maybe as heartbroken as I was, I don't know why I already feel ready for that. And I would like to get married one day, and I would like to have the wedding that I had dreamt of, to wake up and just know that everything's how it should be. There's nothing coming. I'm not going to find out anything, not be in this constant state of high alert. I love coming home to my house that's calm. I love knowing what my next day is going to look like.
When you're setting your goals and manifesting, are you one of those that does vision boards? Do you use apps? Do you write your own goals down and go into detail about how you're going to achieve them, or are they up here in your head?
I think, true to myself, obviously my career has been based around my speaking. I speak them into reality.
Affirmations?
So, yeah, that, and I just put things out to anyone that'll listen. I put them out there. Obviously I come up with them in my mind, and I research like crazy. I read anything and everything. But when I make my mind up that I want something, I just speak it into existence and I believe it with every fiber of my being. And I truly believe that quote that, you know, dress for the job you want, not the job you have.
Yes.
And I don't mean that in terms of literally fashion choices. I mean that in terms of the way that you behave, the way that you speak, the way that, you know, every way that you live your life, live it for your goals, live it to get where you want. So
I love that.
Yeah.
Let's speak out that we're going to get Courtney that radio job. We're putting that out there.
Look, I think I've put it out to every single person at work now, haven't I?
Yes, you have.
Yes, I have.
And I should take this opportunity to say thanks for letting me indulge in my goal in life is to interview people because I just love doing it. So thank you for letting me do this today. But I also want to share with you that I and all of your supporters, we need you to know that you are so much more than just a mum. I want to thank you for all that you have shared with us in this first season of More Than Just a Mum.
You made me cry again, Lou.
Your authentic self, your vulnerability, your truth, your insights, your learnings, and the tools for helping other mums just breathe out and feel like there's always hope and light to look to.
Thank you, Lou. And thank you so much to everyone that has supported me on this journey for the first season of More Than Just a Mum. It has truly been an honour to share my story and to share the stories of other incredible women. And speaking of other incredible women, thank you to every single guest that I have had on my show, including the lovely Lou, because without you, this podcast wouldn't have been what it is. And I think all of us, I hope, well, I know the rest of you have made a difference in women's lives because that's the feedback I'm getting. So thank you very much. What an honor, what a ride, and I can't wait to be back for season 2.
Woohoo!
Yeah!